Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Welcome out once again, guys. Hey, I am excited for today, not just because we got great stuff, but life is good. I love it when the weather gets warmer. I love it when you meet the right people. The right people show up at exactly the right time. It's awesome. And so just loving life right now, loving that I can serve you once again. And if you notice, I kind of went later into the week this week because I wanted to make sure it was good. So today I'm excited for our topic because it's an important one. It's one that's got me a little bit fired up. So as a reminder, if you have any questions or topic discussions that you would love to hear on the show, please reach out to me, chris@moneyripples.com. You know, let me know what you want to hear. Let me know how I can create value for you and serve you the best. So today I want to talk about something that's referring to, you know, a common phrase that you've probably heard many, many times, especially if you've been in business. You've heard people say things like fake it till you make it. And I'm here to tell you that that's absolutely stupid. It's crap. You cannot fake it till you make it. I can't remember which book this is in, but I remember Robert Kiyosaki in one of his books. He talked about a story where he got a fake Rolex, and he got it, and his rich dad said, "Oh, come on, look at this. Like, you got a fake Rolex." And he told him, like, "Yeah, look at this deal I got. I spent, you know, only this much money to get this imitation Rolex. It looks like the real thing." And his rich dad said, "Toss it. It's garbage. Get rid of it." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Because it's not the real thing. It's fake. It's a phony. You know, it's not real." And he said, "Yeah, but nobody can tell that it's not real." He said, "That may be true, but you can." And that's the point I want to drive home today is that, you know, when you try to fake it till you make it, right? When you try to fake anything, when you're inauthentic, you know, authenticity is this nice little buzzword, which is ironic because a lot of times people aren't being authentic when they use that word. But, you know, when people talk about authenticity, right? You know, really being true, you know, really being aligned with who you are, aligning that you do what you say and you say what you basically do what you say, right? You fulfill on that. You do what you actually, you practice what you preach. And a lot of times when people try to fake it, it creates massive inauthenticity. And whether you know it or not, people know. People can tell. People know when you're faking it. Even if they can't identify it, a lot of times they'll say, "Yeah, there's just something off about that person. There's just something off about them that kind of just rubs me the wrong way. I don't know what it is, but just I don't like it." And that comes from being inauthentic. It comes from you not aligning with who you are. You not aligning energetically with your message. And what it doesn't matter what's going on in the outside world. People can see on the inside. You could buy the fanciest freaking car you want, but if it doesn't align with who you are, people will say, "Oh, this person's just flashy or showing off." You know, the thing is that, you know, you try to fake it. You try to like make all this hype and hoopla about who you are and how amazing you are. I guarantee you, you're going to create mistrust in people. People will say, "I don't know what it is. I just cannot trust that person." And I've seen that a little bit lately. I've talked to people, and it's always funny because every business owner I've been talking to, and even sometimes non-business owners, but especially with business owners, everyone I talk to, when we sit down one-on-one or we talk or we're on the phone, they'll say, "Chris, I'm so embarrassed about my situation, but you know, my money situation is not as good as I think it should be." Well, no kidding. Join the freaking club. When you're an entrepreneur, you became an entrepreneur because you wanted more freedom, control. You wanted the ability to essentially kind of create your own destiny, especially when it comes to money. And so when you're not at the place where you'd like to be, of course, you know, you might feel a little bit disappointed. The thing is that that's ridiculous. You know, it's totally ridiculous. You know, and I see other people that, you know, sometimes they bang their chest and they do the opposite. Sometimes they're not even in a place. They think they're amazing, but really in reality, they're nothing. You know, they're not doing squat. And it really frustrates me. And the reason it frustrates me so much is because I had been inauthentic myself. Now, I'll tell you, like, as a financial advisor 14 years ago, when I started out, yeah, I was only about 24 years old. I was young. And especially when you have a baby face like mine. I mean, granted, as I'm getting closer to 40, it's not so much a baby face anymore. But especially in my 20s, you know, full head of hair and a baby face, you know, my whole concern was, would people take me seriously? You know, and that came from, you know, really the stem of like my junior high school years, where I wanted to be liked. I wanted to be loved. I wanted people to be friends with me and like me, right? And so when you carry that into your business, especially when you're in the business of you, that amplifies, because all of a sudden you are the spotlight and those insecurities come out. And so I became insecure. I was already insecure, but now the insecurities became more apparent. And it's funny looking back now in hindsight, thinking, oh, so maybe that's why some people thought, you know, were kind of weirded off by me, because maybe I was trying to be somebody I was not. Maybe I try to be, you know, I try to speak in a big booming voice, you know, or something. You know how some people sound kind of fake when they're talking? That kind of thing drives people nuts. And I'm sure I drove people away myself. And I know even up until recently, I had a client that was interesting. She was at a business event. She'd heard me speak on several occasions, and I so appreciate what she had said. She said, "Chris, it's interesting. Every time I hear you talk, I like it more and more." She's like, "Because you become more of who you are." She's like, "Because you're not just trying to please us. You're not just trying to get us to like you. Now you're actually kind of embracing your dorkiness. You're embracing it." And when she had said that, it meant a ton, because she said, she's like, "It's funny. The less you try to get us to like you, the more we like you." Think about that. The less that I was trying to get people to like me, the more people like me. Now, it doesn't mean I had to be a jerk, because I'm not naturally a big jerk anyways. But it meant that I was just willing to be who I was. And if I was dorky and screw up, then so be it. You know, just earlier this week, I gave a presentation at a networking group. And I'll tell you, there were some jokes I said that I know bombed. But the great thing is, when you can just kind of play those off and it's like, okay, well, that wasn't very funny. You know, then people laugh. It's kind of funny when you just kind of embrace it and just like, oh, well, like, they accept me. I don't care. That's just who I am. And it's amazing how much more powerful you show up in your life, in your relationships, especially with business relationships. It's amazing how that shows up and people become endeared to you. You know, I know a guy that he would be considered a very nerdy guy. In fact, he sounds just like I forgot the name, the dog in Hanna-Barbera. It's like Diddy Dog or something like that. But I mean, just acts and sounds just like that dog, and people adore him. Because, you know, he's a very computer savvy kind of guy, you know, kind of like that, right? And I know that was a horrible impression of it, but kind of similar. And the thing is, it's hilarious, and people love him. And it's because he's not trying to be somebody else. I mean, and you can still tell that energetically, you can kind of tell that, you know, he's still trying to become comfortable in his own skin. But you know what? So are all the rest of us. I mean, we're all on this human trek together. We're all trying to grow. And we're all trying to do something to make an impact. You know, we want people to like and trust us and understand us. I mean, that's just natural human. That's just human nature. We all want those kind of things. But when you try to fake it, when you try to be something you're not, you try to use stuff as a way to mask who you really are. When you start to try to create this image of something that you're not, people won't trust you. It will drive people out of your life. And you'll wonder why you'll work so hard for so little. And even if you make, and I'll tell you, I've seen people, even if they make six figures doing what they do, I've still watched those people work way harder than they need to do that. Way harder. You know, it's interesting. I mentioned about stuff, you know, because sometimes people say, yeah, you got to buy a nice car. You got to have a nice house. You got to look the part. Now, I will tell you that, yes, people do judge you on your appearance. Whether you like it or not, people are going to judge you. And even if you dress nicely, even if you have a nice car or a nice house, there's going to be some people that still don't like you. So stop worrying about it. You know, it's funny because somebody had told me recently, they said, you know, I can't be taken seriously when I'm so young, or I can't be taken seriously because of the car I drive. I'm going to call bull crap on that. You know, you do not have to have this nice freaking $100,000 car. I did that. I remember buying my Mercedes back in 2006. I bought the Mercedes not because I wanted a Mercedes. I bought the Mercedes because I wanted something that was a little bit unique that not everybody had. And I wanted something to be able to show off because my insecurities were there. My insecurities were, especially when I'd been in business for a few years and I was struggling, people were telling me, Chris, go back to college. You need to go back to school. You need to do this again. You know, stop doing this, you know, or stop putting your family at risk by doing your own business thing. Just go back to school, graduate, get your bachelor's in sociology, you know, go get a job, you know, and then the business thing, just maybe do on the side. You know, you don't have to do it full time. And it's funny because, like, I remember just trying to prove to people that, no, I don't need to do that. Like, you know, I mean, granted, I did have jobs on the side when I was first starting a business. So it wasn't that, but I was trying to prove people wrong, prove people that I could actually do it, that I could make something myself, because I was seeing them as devaluing me. So to show my value, right when I started seeing money and it was all coming in, it's like, cool, well, let me prove it to you. Let me buy that nice car, and let me buy that nice Mercedes. Let me buy that nice $750,000 house. You know, let me show off my stuff and show you how valuable I am. The problem was I was showing stuff, not me. I still didn't have value in me. That still came across. It didn't matter what kind of stuff I had. I was still creating roadblocks for myself in my business because I wasn't confident in who I was. I wasn't confident in my own value. It took me losing almost everything to finally start to see that. And even then, it took me launching Money Ripples, you know, really going out by myself, you know, not having somebody else who would be partners with me, but really putting it all on me and saying, who am I? Especially as I was speaking so much, you know, people were looking at me and I was like, am I good enough? You know, am I really that kind of, you know, am I somebody that, you know, people take seriously? Are they going to think I'm credible? Are they going to trust me? Or do I have to prove my point and overprove it? You know, those kind of insecurities will actually create the opposite effect. So the challenge to you is to stop being fake. You know, make truth statements. And I'll tell you, there's a difference between faking it and faithing it. There's a difference between having faith and being fake. And so let's talk about that a little bit of how you can do that, because you got to be okay with yourself. You got to let those insecurities, just first off, accept the insecurities and that you have them, and that's okay. And then secondly, like, just try on that maybe just the way you are is perfect. No matter what your age is, no matter what your financial status is, no matter what you look like, no matter anything, just to say that, you know what, you're perfectly fine the way you are. And yeah, we're all improving. We're all working to grow and improve and excel. Perfect. But you're just great the way you are. But when you start making statements, when you start looking at a situation, you'll look at it. You know, it's kind of like the other day, like I had somebody asking me, like they're interviewing me to become, you know, become a client, you know, they want to become a one-on-one client. And they're like asking me things like, hey, what's your net worth? And that kind of stuff. Like I had no problem telling them. And I was like, yeah, that net worth, it may be less than yours, you know, especially after a divorce. But you know what? I'm okay with that because guess what? My net worth was a negative $1 million. I was $1 million negative net worth. To even be in positive net worth territory is pretty freaking awesome. And so I'm like, I'm pretty happy with that because my trajectory is much faster and much greater than some people that had more net worth than me, who their net worth is going down because they're relying on the stock market and mutual funds and such. And the reality is that even net worth didn't matter in value anyways, because net worth is not the same as cash flow. Some people have great net worth, but they can't, they're paycheck to paycheck or not even paycheck to paycheck. They're asset rich and cash poor. I'm like, that question, like, I didn't care. It didn't faze me. It was fun. And so there's always, you gotta make true statements. Now, granted, like, you don't have to like answer every question people have. You don't have to like open up and say about all your problems. Trust me, you annoy us when you do that on Facebook and social media. Like, we don't need to know about it. Granted, if you have something you're going through and you're struggling with, sharing that's great. But you don't have to share every intimate detail of your life because we don't want to know, to be totally honest. Even if we're your best friend, there's probably some things in your life we just don't want to know. You know, that's the thing. You know, but when it comes to your life and being aligned with who you are and being truthful, you got to make sure that what you're saying, what you're doing aligns. So for example, you know, I've told you this story before in another previous episode where when I was going through my real big financial mess, right? You know, there's collectors calling me multiple times a day, sometimes the same company more than once a day. And when they would call me, they'd say, "Hey, when are you going to pay us?" Now, I had to rephrase that. Now, at first, I was like, "Oh, they're calling me." And I wouldn't answer the phone. I'd ignore their calls because I hated the fact they were calling me. But then after a while, I said, "You know what? Let's change this. Let's change my attitude about what this looks like. What if I were to look at this from a different perspective?" And so I started referring them to them as "I love you" calls. Because think about it. They care about me so much, they'll call me once, sometimes twice a day, just to see how I'm doing. And of course, see if they can get their money back, right? But they wanted to know. They wanted to know what's going on in my life and when I could pay. So they would call more than some of my friends. Some of my friends didn't remain much of my friends after I started going through some financial difficulties. They kind of disappeared. Well, cool. All right. Well, at least these collectors are calling me. So they call me. I would ask the phone. I'm like, "Hey, how's it going?" Just like they're a normal friend. "Good. This call is an attempt to collect a debt." "Yeah, I know. Yep, I'm working on it. You just called yesterday." "Yeah. Do you know when you're going to pay us?" "No, but I'm going to pay you. I'm going to pay you back. It's just going to take a little time. Here's what's going on in my life, but I'm working on it." "Okay. You know, the collector calls are going to keep continuing." "Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, keep following up. In fact, call me next week. You know, I'd love to talk to you again." And that's kind of how the conversations went. And it's amazing how much easier those conversations were. Now, let me ask you, which is truthful? Which was a true perspective? The perspective I had with them or the perspective that I had before where I was ignoring the calls? They were both true. Both of them were true from that perspective. Ignoring the calls, I hated it. Yeah, I had collectors calling me. They wanted money. I didn't have money. That was a depressing thing. But I looked at it from another angle where, hey, they're calling me. They're calling to check up on me. They want to know how I'm doing. Yeah, they want their money, but they're checking up on me. Great. Great friends. Still true. Now, maybe they didn't know who I was. Maybe they weren't true friends. But still, that perspective was still truthful. I was still excited to talk to them because they were checking in on me. And I was able to give them an update. Period. That's it. You know, so maybe you are paycheck to paycheck. So what? I get people tell me all the time, like, "Oh, Chris, it's horrible. Like, we're barely making ends meet, and it's just miserable. And, you know, we don't ever get to do extra things as a family, especially when we see on Facebook, and I get all depressed. I get on Prozac because, you know, I see what they're doing." And you know, part of me is just like, "Yeah, stop whining," you know. But they'll just like, "Yeah, we can't even make ends meet hardly, but you're surviving." Instead, you should be saying, "Holy cow, how grateful I am that I can pay my bills." Do you know how many people around the world can't even pay bills? They have to figure out other creative ways. And you're like, "Oh, it's horrible. You know, I have to, you know, I can only afford 2 cell phones this month. Oh, you know, like, I want to be able to buy all the holistic food that I want." Good, me too. "Yeah, but it's so hard." Good, buy it. The fact is you could buy it. You know, I had another person that told me, they said, "It's horrible. Like, we can't even pay for all of our kids' college education." I'm thinking, who said it was your job to pay for their education? We want them to have a better life than we do. Well, isn't their life already better? Yeah. Well, what are you whining about? Yeah, but I want them to have more. Yeah, they have great. If you're in America, you're in a place where you could even help them with their education or even help them with living expenses or whatever it is. That's great. Yeah, but we don't have any retirement left. Fine. Great. You spent your retirement on your kids. That's a choice. Congratulations. Make this truthful and look at it from the right perspective. That's amazing. You know, and it's funny how we got all emotional, all worked up. And so a lot of times that insecurity, those kind of things come out, you know, because we think we're not being enough or don't have enough or whatever it might be. The truth is that you don't have to fake anything. It's crap. You don't have to fake anything. Be who you are. Be true to you. You know, be okay with your current situation. Say, you know what? It's great. And the trajectory we have is going in a better direction. And even if it's not great, still, there's still more to go. There's still more you can do. And that's perfect. That's my whole point here. My point is this, is that you don't have to fake it. You know, have that faith. Understand that, yeah, you're getting somewhere. You are where you are, and that's perfectly acceptable. And you're not where you were, and you're sure the heck not where you want to be, but that's okay because you're not where you were. And that's perfect. Be okay with that. Accept it. Have faith. that things are improving, that things will get better, and look at it from that angle. And you'll find out that your problems and your perspective is just your own head. Your head's getting in the way. Your own emotions and where you think you should be is just crap. Just be okay and be grateful for where you are and that you're growing and improving and that things are getting better. Period. That's it. Anyways, I've preached enough to you guys. I appreciate you so much. And again, this is key. Your mind is going to trip up your business more than anything. So control that. You control your mind. You control your business. You control your money. Have a great and prosperous week, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.